You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Dante, if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the war, and I'd like to give you information, asking for a quick blood mate noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood mate noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three of the Common Sense Show. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm your host, and we are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We're brought to you by Global Star Radio Network. We're also on Red State Radio Network. Really happy to be over in Red State now with that great list of talk show hosts. In fact, we're going to be talking to one of them in just a moment. Before we join our next guest, Paul Preston, just wanted to let you know, you have heard tonight from two different guests, food is a weapon, food is a weapon, food is a weapon. Don't fall for this. Don't go back to sleep because Donald Trump was elected. Don't stop prepping. We can help you with the food. Mike Adams did a 12-dimension test with Numana versus all the others, and Numana won in every single category. That's why I'm with them. And you know, you've heard me talk about, I reject about 90% of the advertising that's brought our way. We don't solicit advertising. It comes to us. And we reject most of it because I don't know that it fits the audience's needs. So this does. And I believe so strongly in this that I have talked the owner into continuing the 5% discount. So numana.com/Hodges, go look at the best storable food in the world, best tasting, restaurant quality, best pricing, best delivery options, most variety. It's awesome. numana.com/Hodges, and then take 5% off with the coupon code Hodges, NOV5, and we're happy to do that for you as a really kind of a reward for being listeners, loyal and faithful listeners here to the Common Sense Show. Also, just a very quick shout out to Seen.life, SEEN.life. I'm going after Zuckerberg again tomorrow because he keeps earning it. He's the kind of kid, he was a 98-pound weakling on the playground, and he's the kid that got his face slapped, and now he's enacting his revenge on society. And what he's done in Kauai to those poor people there that don't have the money to fight him is criminal. It's just absolutely awful. So anyway, Seen.life, answer to Facebook. Get over, check us out. You know, you have to register, but you can register under a fake name. You have to have an email because you got to be able to get into the system. But you don't have to use your email. You can invent one. You can be totally anonymous. And there's no limits. There's no restrictions on who you're for. The only thing is we won't let you put a assassinate Donald Trump page up like they do on Facebook. But we will allow all viewpoints, always do. So sign up for the Common Sense Show when you go there. Okay, that takes care of our business for the evening with our great line of sponsors. And you can hear it in my voice here. I'm really struggling here with the cold, and it came on me Saturday. But an hour to go in an hour of fascination. Seems like when I talk to Paul Preston privately, it turns into a darn interview every time. Fascinating stuff. He is the man responsible for getting me to talk about CalExit and getting me responsible for looking into it. And I want to say this. I've had 4 months of frustration because the rest of the country wasn't paying attention. Now they're beginning to pay attention, finally. Paul, welcome to the show. Red State Radio Network is where your show airs. Agenda 21 Radio is the name of your show. Your website's agenda21radio.com. And we're so glad you're here. Finally, people are listening to you about CalExit.
Well, thanks, Dave. Yeah, it's a pretty important topic because, you know, people are threatened in this country by, you know, basically a movement that could possibly take a star right out of the flag and we could return to 49 states and California, because this CalExit program has money. lots of money. It's supported by many of the organizations of George Soros. It's also supported by the Rayosi Sasakawa Peace Foundation. A little hard to get that data now because they've been erasing it. They've been working in collusion with the state, Alex Padilla in particular, Secretary of State, who is a communist, and by the way, is pointed out as a communist in Trevor Loudon's book, The Enemy Within. In fact, it's a great read if you ever pick up that book and just look at the California communists in the state assembly, state senate, former mayors, former people who want to run for governor. It's absolutely a fascinating read. You know, Javier Becerra, who was just appointed attorney general to replace Kamala Harris, a stone-cold communist and specifically trained, obviously, to be the attorney general right now. So there's a lot of communists, a lot of national socialists, and not a lot of the Christian Democratic Party, which of course is the Catholic Party from South America and from Central America, and that particular party is very much a totalitarian Nazi / communist party. That's the party of the Pope, and the Pope happens to be a Jesuit, and so does our governor Jerry Brown. I mean, it's kind of an interesting circle that's going on here, and you know, it's interesting to see what's happening with the Calexit movement. It is run by a couple of Islamist, radical Islamic terrorists, I call them, and one of them happens to be affiliated also with not only just the Muslim Brotherhood and Islam, but also with La Raza, which of course is the race, and La Raza is the point people behind all the Calexit movement, basically. So this is what we have, a terrorist organization, a racist organization that's trying to destroy California, and really to destroy the United States. That's their goal, is to destroy the United States. And Americans need to wake up to this because they're well-financed. They've got a great plan. They seem to be doing everything to rouse the population, and they're doing it all the right way because they've got billions and billions of dollars to pour into this to separate California from the rest of the nation.
Does it seem to you that the remnants of the Obama administration are migrating west to California?
Oh, yeah, that's a fact. In fact, Obama, the first place he went right after being outed as president, is Palm Springs. And he's here now. He's going to go back to Washington and join his kids. They're going to stay there for another 2 years, apparently, leasing a property. And then they're going to move to California, as well as Eric Holder is out here right now being paid $25,000 by the state senator here in California as an advisor per month. And we're hearing that Loretta Lynch is moving out here. Valerie Jarrett is moving out here. It seems that all the leftists are coming to California from the Obama administration to settle in and create that new country, because this so-called plebiscite, as they call it, to exit California and form a new country, comes to the voters in about 2 years. And right now they're trying to gather about 500,000 signatures. And the Secretary of State just, it's amazing, because there's no legal basis for this group to be even approved and qualified to be brought out to have people sign signatures to be brought before the voters as a proposition. And they just immediately did it. Took them just about a week to process the paperwork. And I wrote a complaint. They won't let you, the Secretary of State will not let you see any of the complaints or arguments against CalExit, which I think is interesting. They won't even be responsive to my phone calls, but they're going to have to be responsive to a FOIA request. And we'll see how that goes. But again, this is, we're dealing with state officials and legislators that are living in lawless land right now. California is really turning quickly into a lawless state. And I think we heard some talk today about, from Willie Brown, about withholding federal tax dollars being paid to the feds by California because we're a so-called donor state. And I think that's just the tip of the iceberg about what's going to happen.
Excuse me. I think it's just the opening salvo. I totally agree with you. But it is interesting to me that the Obama administration has moved west. In fact, people don't believe me when I tell them this, and yet I can refer them to my website. I can refer them to Russia Today's website. CalExit has an embassy in Russia, don't they?
Yeah, they opened up. Some people say it's just a storefront, and we're not real certain that Putin supports that and was even aware of it at the time when they rolled it out, because they literally just rolled it out. The two people that are the spokespeople for CalExit are from Russia. They spent a great deal of time in Russia. They have Russian wives. They converted to Islam in Russia. One of them, Evans is his name, he's a member of La Raza, and an active member, has been an active member of La Raza. And, of course, it's La Raza that's pretty much the point behind, on the tip of the spear for the whole CalExit movement, because it goes back to the Islam movement. And that's where this whole genesis takes place. So this is what we're dealing with, the radical communist, radical Islamist, and radical, racist.
Well, they
don't like
racist.
White people much. Oh, yeah, clearly white, racist.
You have an embedded source, and I want you to share what they told you about their intent of the criminal organizations that are part of the CalExit movement, namely the cartels, what they plan to do if they're not able to exit peacefully.
Right. Well, if they cannot exit peacefully, and their process to do that is to get two-thirds of majority of the states to agree to let California go. Now, if you think about it, you can start to see over the years the disinformation campaign about California, about fruits and nuts all the way through, about what a terrible place it is, and making it a hostile place for business. So why would you do business there? Everybody must leave California. And it's created an enormous flight out of California for businesses, and primarily the middle class is all but left. And California was a long time about 75% white. That number is, because of this rapid exit they've seen over the last 20 years, is down to around 50-some percent, maybe even less than that right now. I think the number actually is less compared to Hispanics, which are a dominant number now, so like maybe 49 or 51%, something like that. So you can see that the strategy is basically to get the white, so-called white Europeans out of California, which has been one of the goals of La Raza, stated goal. I used to work in schools and used to work with gangs, and I used to have a lot of contact with La Raza and Mecha, which Mecha is the Movimiento de Escuela de Aztlán movement, which is the student movement of La Raza to bring back, to bring back Aztlán. And this is, Mecha's organizations have been in schools since the 1960s. Some of them are good, some of them are bad, some of them are communist, some of them are not. And I've had a lot of experience dealing with them, and I've had times when I've disciplined students, and the parents come in, and they're all into La Raza, and they end up threatening me and telling me, they always would point to their skin on their arms and say, see this brown skin, we're going to dominate California one day. And I lived through this for 41 years, seeing this happen. And so now here it is. It's reached a fruition point, and they've got a lot of money behind them. Now, we had that's my experience. I've had this happen repeatedly, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't somebody who just idly, this is part of my business as a school administrator, as a school disciplinarian, and so on, and working with gangs and from murders to everything that gangsters do. I've been involved with it in some way, shape, or form. And I've worked with law enforcement from the Department of Justice to FBI to local law enforcement agencies, even sometimes across the country, Georgia, South Carolina, Florida, in trying to solve even school crimes, believe it or not, that are related to cartels and gangsters. So I've got a lot of experience this way. But so I take these, when I see La Raza pop up, I realize it's a racist organization. It has one goal intended, if you remember, and that is to take back the southern portion of America. And California is the first target of that. They can take California first, they can get the rest of it. And that's been the strategy for a long time, and now here it is. It's playing out. I was kind of waiting for it to happen, and it's here. Now, we had an opportunity at one of our tea parties about a month and a half ago. And I know I explained this to the audience before, but it's now a little bit more salient, I suspect, Dave, because people are starting to really wake up and go, wow. Because I'm getting questioned all the time. I've been on two interviews today already about CalExit and about the things behind it. And some people are actually saying that the CalExit is not related in any way, shape, or form to La Raza. If you hear any of those people saying that, they are on the other team. Trust me. They have no experience, and also there are some disinformation artists out there right now that would surprise people. And I'm saying that because I'm hearing certain people that all of a sudden have decided to switch allegiances and are going with the CalExit program, which is very interesting. So they say La Raza has nothing to do with it now. See, what has happened, I believe, is we put so much pressure on them and got this story out about La Raza. Katie Grimes needs to be applauded for this. who writes for ReaganBaby.com and Flash Report. But she's been really very, very upfront about who the communists are. She calls them the Mexican Mafia working under the state capitol. And she's been at this for years. This is something that she's very, very accustomed to. We talk all the time, and it's kind of interesting to talk to her all the time. But she's been out front with this all along, and now here it is. But we had a person come to our tea party about a month and a half ago, and he was Mexican. And he came to the tea party, and he had just been to a meeting about a week before, a meeting with officials, state elected officials, city elected officials from Sacramento, California. And there's about 75 people in the room. I got a list of the people from the meeting, and it was a 3-page list. It was single spaced. It was about 2.5 pages is what it was. And everybody that was there included Nuestra La Familia, which is the overseer for the Mexican gangs, Norteño Sereño, and all across the state. You had the Mexican consulate there. You had five representatives from the Obama administration in the room. You had state legislators, you had state bureaucrats and so on. The whole bevy of people, religious leaders, you had the leader of the Jesuits there, the Catholic Church. All the players that you would think would be intimately involved in this thing, and sadly enough, they were really talking very. Daryl Steinberg, the mayor now of Sacramento, who was a Senate pro tem of California for a long time, extreme Marxist. He's been a Marxist for day one, but he was talking really in revolutionary terms when he was up there talking. I've seen the video. Some people in the crowd were actually being interesting to my source in saying that really what they were prepared to do was bypass the legal process and go straight to revolution and start killing Americans. And when I questioned him, now that he brought this out and made these statements in front of about 70 Tea Party members, I was stunned because I was making a presentation on this very subject and he walked in. The reason why he walked in, he's a solid American. He loves America. He loves the California. He came to California. He's a citizen. He came to California from Mexico, became a citizen. His family became citizens. And he is absolutely terrified of what these people are thinking about doing. And they make it no uncertain terms that the revolution is going to happen, like it or not. And they plan to do that. Now, we watched some of the behaviors, some of the leaders that are mentioned, Gil Cedillo, Antonio Villaraigosa, I'll name the names, I don't have a problem with
that. That was the mayor of Los Angeles, right? Villaraigosa was the mayor of Los Angeles?
Yeah, he was also Speaker of the Assembly down there in Sacramento as well, for a long time, state legislator. And now he's making a run for the governorship of California, provided there's going to be a governorship. So it just kind of lets you know this whole, they're all part of the Marxist, communist allegiance that they all grew up with in the 80s and 90s, and very well documented, I might add, in Trevor Loudon's book, The Enemy Within, documents all these people and their behavior. And now here they are sitting in these positions of authority, and they're getting ready. Now the other part of it that should shock everybody is the election fraud that went on in the primary election here in California, which the voters approved various propositions designed to disarm Californians. About 8 of these propositions passed. We knew it was voter fraud at the time, and our facts and information, as we're starting to accumulate it now, which will be a big story tomorrow. You watch and see this. This is going to break nationally tomorrow. I've got people I can't discuss right now, but it's going to break nationally. It supports everything Trump says. But I will tell you that the two states that they're looking at is California and Nevada. And it's this election fraud they used in June to defeat Bernie Sanders. So it was opening up to Hillary Clinton and got her elected. But there's no way, I think most people understand in California, there's no way that Hillary won California over Bernie Sanders. There's just too much grassroots support for him. Plus, now that we've been able to assess what's going on and we start to see the facts, we realize how extensive the voter fraud has been in California. This is really two really great people who have brought this out is Megan Barth of ReaganBaby.com and Katie Grimes. and they have been the lead on this, and their story is going to hit nationally tomorrow. And people aren't going to like it, but, you know, hey, Hillary Clinton did not win by 3 million votes here in California. I'm saying that she probably lost by more than 3 million votes to Donald Trump in California. And I think when everything is said and done, you throw out all the provisional ballots, she clearly lost. The same happened in Nevada. She did not take Nevada. And we've got somebody over there, Stanley Vaughn, who's a world chess grand champion, who's helped to sort out the fraud because he was running for the 15th Assembly District in Clark County. And when he went in to vote, this is what prompted him to investigate. When he went in to vote, he's going to vote for himself for sure when he went to the ballot box. But he was told something that he already voted. And he said, how could that be? I'm just now here. He says, well, we've got you checked off the list. Obviously, you voted. Here's a provisional ballot that'll make you feel happy. It'll make you feel happy. If you just go vote with this provisional ballot. We won't count the provisional, but we will count the one that somebody else voted for you for. Isn't that nice? So that tipped off the investigation. And Stanley Vaughn went out, and initially, now the numbers are changing, and I'm not sure, they're changing daily because the numbers are going, but the first round of numbers that he sent out 10,000 envelopes with return addresses on them. He sent them out to voters in his 15th Assembly District. He got the list from the county clerk that were voters, and the number that returned to him as being undeliverable. In other words, vacant lots, the addresses were for vacant lots, for trailers, empty trailers, empty cars. One lot had an outhouse on it, that was it. But the number that came back was 9,200. But they all voted, those people.
Well, somebody voted for them, you mean?
Exactly. Now, what we know and what we found out, and this is all new stuff that came out in Megan's article. Actually, I interviewed Megan, and we put it on the air today for the first time. Stunning information, I might add. But there's a bus company that was employed in Las Vegas that traveled to the City of Commerce in Los Angeles. 100 coaches, bus coaches, traveled to the City of Commerce and picked up passengers. The buses were filled, and they brought them to Clark County. With the last weekend that he could vote, you know, before the ballot, before the election day, where they could actually go in and vote, and they did, and they hustled these people around from station to from polling place to polling place until they were done with them, and then they drove them back to Los Angeles, and we have the evidence now to show that.
Isn't that the same thing we heard about de Blasio in New York?
Yeah. Same thing. See, this is the thing that when Katie came out with her article first, and I interviewed her, I said, the big part, this is back in June now, before the November election, I said, you know, Katie, the big thing is that what they're doing here, and of course, this is what she was discovering in California, and also the same kind of thing, and I'll explain a little bit more details what we found out, that in California, they did the same thing, and I said to them at her at the time, they were busing, they were using, you know, the provisional ballots and so on. And I said to Katie, I said, they're templating this for the rest of the country. And they're going to try and win the election this way to defeat Donald Trump. That was back in June, I think it was July 1st when I interviewed her. And she said, absolutely. So then, of course, we saw this happening in other states. We saw it happen, of course, in Nevada, which is the biggest one. Now, here's the gig. For those of you that are really wanting to have voter IDs, this is the reason why you really want to have voter ID, I'll tell you right now. Because this is how they perfect the scam, is that when you go to vote and you go to a voting station, they have a master list of people that are out in front that are qualified to vote. They're out in front of the polling place. And you may have noticed this. Some people don't notice it. They don't give a darn. They just walk right by it. But what happens is that the polling people, when somebody votes, will go over and cross that list, cross your name off that list. But there's other names on there that haven't been crossed out. So because you don't have because people aren't required for an ID, anybody can just walk right up to that station and can look at that list and say, oh, there's a name that's not crossed out. John Jones. And there's a Republican behind you. So what I'm going to, what if you want to cause the fraud to go on, which is what these people that are being bussed around doing, what they're doing is looking at that list saying John Jones. They go in and they claim to be John Jones, and they're given a ballot and they vote. And after they vote there, they get back on the bus and travel to another polling station, check out the list, vote again, and it continues. That's what they've been doing around the nation.
All I got to say is wow, wow, and wow again. This is, and this has happened all over. How many votes do you, I'm going to ask you this, and I'll compare it to what I was told by someone with an intelligence background. How many millions of votes do you think that Clinton stole?
At least 13 or 14 million. Easily.
Yeah,
way.
You're being conservative. My source.
Yeah, I've heard 27
told me,
or something like that. Yeah,
yeah, he said 20. He said 20.
Yeah. Yeah.
They predicted at one time, his former group predicted Trump would win with 70% of the vote, not accounting
right.
for voter fraud.
Right. And I would agree with that. I was prepared for that. But the voter fraud stepped in. We knew the voter fraud was going to be there, but we saw the perfection of it going down with Bernie Sanders in the June 7th primary. And then we figured out they're templating it, and that's exactly what they did in Nevada. It's the exact same process in Nevada. So, gee, don't you think we ought to have voter IDs now? I mean, since you have non-citizens voting, and that's a problem for California, because right now as I'm speaking, it's a Sunday night, Jeff Sessions has not been sworn in. They gave him a week delay, remember?
Yes.
Here's why they gave him a week delay. Because they all know voter fraud's rich in California, up there in Washington. And they don't need no stinking Jeff Sessions to be jumping in on something, especially since all of a sudden people have found out and figured out, I think because they've listened to my radio show, they've found out and figured out that it's criminal and it's sedition to allow citizens, non-citizens to vote and to knowingly and willfully support them in that. Well, Jerry Brown did just that when he said that anybody applying for a California driver's license, and oh, by the way, illegal immigrants, you're welcome to apply, but anybody who applies automatically is enrolled as a voter in California, motor voter. And Jerry Brown brought that in. Now, what's happening right now, and I have it on good authority, that you have in DMVs all throughout California or in their central data processing area, and I got to tell you, I have some fabulous embeds that have come forward. You'd be surprised the people that have come forward on this. They are scrubbing the data to make sure that all those people that signed up to be, that were illegal immigrants, got a driver's license and registered to vote automatically, have now been made citizens by way of the state of California on their records.
What?
All paper documents.
Wait,
yeah,
how do they
citizens.
Do that?
Well, they just simply were they. There's a marking point on the application, and it says, you know, are you a lawful resident, legal U.S. citizen, and you sign your name that says that you are, but there's a box there you check off where it says you're not, and people, you know, the immigrants, they get it, they're not citizens, so they check it off. Well, they're erasing those, and they're getting rid of as much paperwork as possible that could even remotely prove that these people are not citizens. Because if they did vote, that's sedition.
What is the goal, other than voter fraud? But there's a long-range goal beyond the election.
Right.
To make these people citizens by fraud and deceit. What's the goal?
The goal is to break up the United States of America. And, you know, the globalists don't need borders. It's the same old thing that I've been talking about. They've tried it in a soft approach. It hasn't worked. So they are trying to break up California from the nation. And that way, actually California and their plan for CalExit is that they will, their sovereign region that they're going to be reporting to is the United Nations, not the United States of America anymore. They want to become sovereign with the United Nations.
So, in other
words, the goal
is
to break up America.
Paul, is the United Nations going to be their partner?
Yeah, of course.
So it's going to be joint sovereignty?
That's what it looks like to me. Now, they haven't really cut. See, their plan is not real detailed yet, but that's what it indicates, yeah. They say it right in their application, right in their documentation. Go to the Secretary of State's office, you can read it.
You mean this is on file for anybody to see?
Yeah, Secretary of State.
Okay. So
California Secretary of State Alex Padilla, and go through the thing with his petitions.
I'm going to ask a really dumb question. You mean there's no one honest enough in the media to go take a look at this and go, I have a problem with this? Not one person?
No. No, I mean, well, myself, my sources, my people, I mean, I've got about 20 people. We've looked at it. Katie Grimes has written articles about it. I mean, her article get really well, you know, but nobody in the mainstream media, no, they don't know any better. Or they don't want to touch it because, you know, they're afraid. It's just, it's I know it's unfathomable, but it's here. This is what they're trying to do.
You got the same crud I've got, but the...
Yeah.
How do you... Well, is there a logistical plan here? Is there a timetable, a chronology that you could point to?
No, they have a... The plebiscite is supposed to be voted on as early as 2018, perhaps 2019, and that's the proposition by which they're saying that they want to break away from the United States of America. They want to... you know, they want to form a new country. They're going to be reporting to the United Nations as a partner and all that stuff. Now, another little thing I want to throw in here is that another bit of information about this election business. Just quickly, I'll get to the Secretary of State thing in a second, but just recently, Linda Payne from the Election Integrity Project, this is what she put out a press release last week. It said, election corruption proven in California. And it says it's time to look at the facts. And it says as of today, the reality of widespread election corruption and vote fraud is uppermost in the national convention conversation. And troubling to the Election Integrity Project is the common theme of many commentators that there is no documented evidence to support the president's claims. They are wrong. And she goes on and lists a whole bunch of things, and it's all about California, of course. And, you know, she's requesting civil rights hearings and so on. But this is very, very important stuff, and it's not just us. It's just not me. It's not Katie Grimes. It's not, you know, it's a whole bunch of other people that are finally getting some traction because Donald Trump has said it's wrong. There's something going wrong here. That's the problem. They have a problem now because more people are outing them. And as they out them, they're starting to realize, I really believe that they have figured out that what I've said on the radio repeatedly for weeks is that this is sedition. And by altering the votes, it's sedition. So that's one of the reasons I think they're really busy right now trying to clean up their act with California votes, because this proves voter fraud to a high degree, which is what Donald Trump has been saying. So I don't think they'll be able to scrub it all. My data person in the DMV says they won't be able to scrub it all. There's going to be too many telltale documents and so on that are going to show the corruption.
Who should go to jail? Other than Jerry Brown, who should go to jail over this?
Oh, we can go down the list of everybody in the State Assembly and the Senate. I mean, who's involved in this? You've got Antonio Villaraigosa for sure. Even Willie Brown with his statements today. And what else has he been doing? You know, you have to look at certainly Jerry Brown. I mean, he's going to make a perp walk. That's what they're doing this for. They don't want a perp walk going on. And that's why they're pushing so hard and creating so much trouble right now, because they want a distraction away from what's going to happen in California, which is this exposure of voter fraud and the delay of sessions. Now, my feeling about the delay of session is... just let them commit more crimes, and they will, because they're trying to cover it up. That's, you know, I'm not stupid. I used to bust people for doing crimes, and I understand how it works. The other thing is, I lost my train. Oh, the other people, Kevin DeLeon, Alex Padilla, Senator Lara, he's the one who went out and, you can actually see this if you go to, I should probably get it up on the website. You can actually see Senator Lara get up there and make the statement to everybody about Donald Trump, about this whole thing. That this is in December 6th, I believe it was, when they were sworn in for their new terms after the election. He got up there in the well of the Senate and said, we must take the fight to the streets on this issue. He's a candidate to go. All the staffers that have been involved in promulgating all this information, knowing that they're committing, maybe not knowing they're committing felonies along the road, those people will go to jail. I mean, there's nothing worse in the state capitol. I know too many people. There's nothing worse in the state capitol than when the chief proctologist shows up from the FBI. They just absolutely quake. And what's going to happen down there is every senator, every assembly member, every staffer, some of the lobbyists, they're going to have a chief proctologist assigned directly to them. It's not going to be comfortable sitting down. That's what will happen. And they know, they're afraid of that. And I say that because I talk to these people, and the ones I talk to are not guilty of anything. They're the spectators on the side going, what's going to happen here? Well, just listen to my radio show, I'll tell you what's going to happen. The proctologists are going to show up.
And the people are going to be wearing diapers to work.
Well, the ones that can go to work.
Well, the ones that don't take the perp walk, which need to. At what point do they start killing white people?
I think once they realize that they won't be able to get the so-called plebiscite to qualify, which could be in the next 6 months, because they have 6 months to get 5 million, you know, half a million signatures, almost 600,000. I think you'll probably see some things start to storm around there. I'm hoping that an intervention by the federal government here will really lock a lot of this up. And the quicker the better, because the corrosive effect that they're going to have in the media on all this is going to be too just not good if it lasts. So if the more, I'm sure, you know, I have people that are in law enforcement in and around that area. They're not calling me back. So that's a sign they're doing something. And they won't talk to me, and that's fine. I get it. You know, I get it. So to me, it's kind of like when Leland Yee happened. Who was the state senator who was doing the gun running, who was the chief advocate for stronger, stricter gun control in America, in California, two or three years ago, he was busted for gun running. Hello, a state senator from Chinatown. He had a partner and a Chinese gang member named Shrimp Boy, who was helping facilitating him buying Stinger missiles and artillery pieces and small arms. And coming in, he had been negotiating with people in Subic Bay, Philippines, to bring these weapons into California. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to shoot down Southwest Airlines.
It's more than this guy, too. Go back to June of 2014 when I was talking to two, but primarily one, DEA agents. And then I've had Kathy Rubio confirm this with relatives in the area. And she's a talk show host out of Minnesota. What I'm getting to here, Paul, is these heavy paramilitary equipment, 50 cal, RPGs, they're coming across the border. They're coming across now. There was a bust on it last week, and it totally got covered up, totally got buried. And I was told this by a Border Patrol agent. But those RPGs are coming in with terrorists from south of the border. In fact, let me tell this story real quick, because I don't think I've told it here on the show. I've had a Mexican national who works for Pemex, but he's been writing to me since 2014 as well, the Central American immigration crisis. And he told me, he's got two relatives in the cartel, and he says, don't be shocked, Dave. He goes, everybody down here has members and their family in the cartels. He said that two of them told his uncle they were going north to kill Americans, and this was 10 days ago.
Right. See, that's the same thing.
What I'm leading to here, all hell's going to break loose at the border. And I think they're beta testing it. I mean, we've had three border closures now in, 4 days? I think they're beta testing response times. And I had a Border Patrol agent say that. He said, we're being probed.
Yeah, I would agree. And, you know, we were concerned, and I expressed it on your radio show as well as mine, we were concerned about what was going on at the border. And we were talking about these stories that we all had and the arms that we know that are in place here in America. That there was going to be an incident that happened down at the border, but I think the incident happened a couple of days before the vote, and not before the inauguration, and nothing did happen. And I said to myself at that time, this is a test to see how we're going to respond. But one of the things that I was told by one of my sources was, and did actually happen, But I was told that there was going to be an incursion by the Department of Homeland Security into Mexico to seize missiles and weapons such as RPGs. And it was going to be quite a strike. It was going to be a lot of them at a lot of cities along the border. Well, that didn't happen, but there was one. And that one was so-called an incursion by the Mexican government military. But my understanding that you had a lot of Navy SEALs that were very actively involved in that little incursion. That was the one you're talking about that picked up the RPGs and stuff.
How did they keep
it so
quiet?
But that's only one.
Let me follow up. Is this why they had to go to the Philippines now to replace those weapons?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because Leland Yee and Shrimp Boy were making sure that those weapons were transited to, of all places, New Jersey, and then brought from New Jersey into California. I mean, that's all the way around the globe. That's just not a direct shipment from the Philippines to Los Angeles or San Francisco. I mean, I still haven't explained that, why that was that way, other than obviously something else is going on in New Jersey where these things can be brought ashore pretty easily. And not to raise suspicion, but they were to transit all the way across California, all the way from New Jersey to California. That's just something I never really answered. But to me, I thought it was an interesting little gambit of information that we developed. And that was about 2.5 years ago, maybe 3 years ago now that this was going on. And, you know, thank goodness, I used to tell people, there's a good FBI and a bad FBI during the Obama administration. And I know of the person, the FBI agent out of Sacramento that was responsible for all that. They were the good FBI, and they did not get intimidated by anybody from the department, from the Justice Department, to stop the investigation about Leland Yee and gun running. Because, you know, they said, hey, wait a minute, you're going to tell us not to investigate this when this guy wants to shoot down Southwest Airlines? Hello? You know, so they let that go. And Shrimp Boy and Leland Yee are in jail today, which is a good thing.
And see, this should be front page news on every newspaper, should dominate the nightly news on TV, and all we hear are crickets chirping.
Yep, they're completely silent on this. Completely silent.
Well,
it's really interesting. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I got accused of being Looney Tunes for talking about CalExit. I mean, number one, they go, it doesn't exist, you're crazy. And some guy kept writing me on an email with all his cuss words and everything. And I finally broke my silence. I wrote back to him. I said, are you aware it's become a ballot issue now and it's in the media? He didn't answer me again. But, Paul, I think you're the guy that forced it out in the open, you and Katie Grimes. I think that they wanted to hide it for as long as they could. And when the Russian embassy stuff broke and everything else, all of a sudden they can't run from it.
No, they can't. They can't run from it. And now it's here. You know? Now it's here. Isn't that interesting?
It is crazy. I mean, did you ever think you'd be living in a time such as this?
No. I mean, but, you know, when I look at it, it doesn't surprise me now that I'm looking at it, because you can see that I can see clearly the chess pieces on the table and clearly the direction and the strategy behind what they're trying to do. It's pretty obvious. You know, you flood the population with illegal aliens, and you militarize some of them, and you embed people into communities, and you have a flashpoint where every community all at one time is going to be either overrun by large numbers of military-style people that have been trained, that have been brought across the border, and then, you know, it's just basically shoot Whitey type of thing. That's the kind of stuff that they're looking for. That's actually been going on for the desire for a long time. It just hasn't happened yet.
Wow. This is such a convergence of facts. Paul, back in 2015, I had a Texas Ranger write to me anonymously, and I can't remember how he described himself, but basically got the feeling he was high-ranking. And I was talking about Jade Helm, and I was worried about Walmart possibly being used as detention centers for people on the way to FEMA camps, and this was about dissident extraction and blah, blah, blah. And I do believe that was a lot of what this was about. We saw it rehearsed in Tallahassee, Florida. We got the photographs. But
right. He
told me, he said, Dave, don't focus so much on that. He said, I'm not saying you're wrong. He said, focus on the fact that we know in Texas that our police departments are going to be attacked by insurgency forces.
Right.
And now we're facing this happening, aren't we? Let's speak to the audience directly, Paul. Don't pull any punches. We've had this conversation off air. The Mexican nationals I talked to, two of them, have told me it's coming. We are going to be attacked a la Pancho Villa, but a lot worse in our country, aren't we?
Right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And, you know, can I interject here? Because I'm looking at the Secretary of State's website right now, California. And this is the title of this part of the website. And I'll give you the, well, go to California. It's SOS, www.sos.ca.gov. And then it's /elections ballot. And if you go there, you'll pull up the initiatives. And this title of this one, this is from Alex Padilla, Mr. Communist himself. Initiatives and referenda cleared for circulation. And it reads like this. It says the Attorney General prepares and circulates. Okay, this is the initiative now. They've called it something else besides CalExit. But they've titled it now. And this is the other thing we've seen. They used to be called Yes California, this organization. Yes. And for years, they were Yes California, and then suddenly they changed to CalExit. And before they changed to CalExit, they had left the list of donators up on the Yes California, and we got a glimpse of it. We did not take a screenshot. Now, this is important for people. If you want your facts and solidified, because this is how squeaky these guys are. The next day, we go back to retrieve the screenshot, and it's gone. It's gone. To the list of donors, but the two list of donors that stuck out the most was the Tides Foundation's nonprofits that were there, and then also the Ryushi Sasakawa Peace Foundation. And since then, they've changed their name or the status of this several times just to keep you guys and all of us off the beaten trail. So now they've got a different name altogether. It's called California Nationhood Initiative Constitutional Amendment and Statute. That's what they've titled it. And it goes like this. It says, repeals provisions of California Constitution stating California is an inseparable part of the United States since the United States Constitution is the supreme law of the land. They're saying this initiative repeals that. Places question of whether California should become a separate country on a future ballot and treats result of such future vote as declaration of independence from the United States if 50% of registered voters participate and 55% of those voting approve. That's the way they want to declare a declaration of independence with this initiative.
And they've got the voter fraud model they've set up.
You got it. It says, goes on here, requires governor to request California and admission to the United Nations if voters approve independence. So they're saying, regardless of whether they become a new nation, they're saying California, their governor is directed to join the United Nations based upon this initiative. Does that make sense? So
yeah,
I'm reading this, ladies and gentlemen. You just can't come back and say we're just talking from the wrong end of our body. I'm telling you, this is it. You can go to it yourself. Do the research. I'm so tired of people saying, well, prove it to me. Well, why don't you get off your butt and go look? I mean, this is what we, of course, Dave, you know, we deal with this all the time. But these naysayers out there on the left, hello.
Yeah.
It takes some initiative. It says requires, well, it says, yeah.
We just got a minute left. Oh, actually, we got about 3 minutes left.
Okay.
I want to hit one more issue here. And I think a short answer is in order. People write to me a lot on my YouTube channel when I do podcasts on this, and they tell me, well, let them go. California's crazy. Who cares? They're liberal. Get rid of the Democrats. Build a wall among California and Arizona. What do you say to them?
I say, you're crazy. You like the United States of America? And they always say yes. I said to them, why do you want to destroy it? That's the attitude they want you to have. They've been building this attitude in the rest of the population of America for at least 25, 30 years. That California's a crazy land, shouldn't be there, because they want to steal the land. And this is the way California will end up. Guaranteed, it will end up as a theocracy. Not a federal republic. Not a constitutional republic. It's going to end up a theocracy, ladies and gentlemen. That's the way it's being structured right now with these new immigrants and everybody else being pushed out. And you have your elites, and you'll have leadership from a theocrat. Now, guess who that will be?
Jerry
the
Brown.
Pope.
No, wait a minute. Won't Jerry Brown get to be the president?
Well, he might be the El Presidente, but it will be a theocracy since he's a Jesuit himself.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, the Pope will be leading this. The Pope is leading it now. People just don't get it.
At the end of the show, you just opened up a can of worms, Paul. Quickly,
yeah.
Tell us how the Pope gets involved in this.
Well, he's running it right now. He's behind all this. This whole thing is the papacy Jesuit order to reestablish California as, again, a claim of the Pope since 1492 when Christopher Colomb came here and settled. It was the Catholic Church and the papacy who declared that the New World is theirs, and California has always been the gem that they've wanted. And the last time the Jesuits were in California, by the way, and in Alta California then, and Baja California, New Mexico, they were run out. And you know who replaced them was Father Serra, who developed the 21 missions in California. So the Catholic legacy lives on. Just because it's, 2016, doesn't mean that they think they have a legacy claim from 1492, because they do, in their minds. Now, let's get people to ponder that one.
I got a headache. This is so wide-reaching.
Yeah. What happened to me was I went to Barcelona, Spain for the 1992 Olympics, which was the 500-year anniversary of Cristobal Colón discovering the New World. And quite frankly, I saw it clearly then when I was there. It was pretty obvious that they still have focus on the New World, and they want it back. And now they want it back, and now they think they can get it back.
Well, we can't let them. Is it going to take a military action by Trump to get it done? And we got 30 seconds.
Yes. And fellow Americans and fellow Californians. And all you Californians that are thinking about leaving, stand your ground, because that's what they want you to do. Stand your ground. That's what I tell everybody. Stand your ground.
So it is 1861, and South Carolina relocated to California. Is that about right?
Yeah. That's right.
Only it's a lot worse.
They're looking for a revolution.
The Confederacy didn't use the drug cartels. Amazing.
No,
Paul, we're out of time.
They didn't use the church.
We are totally out of time. AgendaRadio.com, Agenda21Radio.com is where to get him, and Red State Talk
Agenda
Radio.
Agenda21Radio.news.
.news, okay, I'm sorry. I'm so locked into .com. Okay, Agenda21Radio.news and Red State Radio Network. It's just, wow, this is mind-blowing. This is going to spin some heads when I release this in the morning. Paul, thanks so much for joining us. We're out of here. We'll be back next week with Steve Quayle and Doug Hagman. Everybody, take care.
Thank you.